Well, okay. This is a discussion with Ms. Chapman and Mr. Grimmett all about an Inspector Call. So we're going to try and give you a summary of the plot and a discussion of some of the characters along the way. So do you want to start us off, Ms. Chapman?
Well, I think it's quite important that we take into consideration what Priestley sets up for us before the Inspector arrives in terms of Burling and his sense of, you know, very clear sense of self-importance and the smugness of the family around the engagement party and the prospects for social enhancement of that particular union. And we're given lots of information, which is then kind of shot down later.
Yeah, absolutely, through the play. So we know that the relationship between Gerald and Sheila that's being set up is going to benefit the two families, that the Croft Unlimited and Burling and Company are going to be kind of, merging together. So Burling is perhaps more interested in that than even kind of his happiness of his daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe talk a little bit about maybe class, perhaps.
Another thing that I think that comes across very clearly is Burling's chip on his shoulder about the fact that he's his wife's social inferior, and therefore, again, this union will help to consolidate his kind of, you know, upward mobility and the prospect of the knighthood.
Oh yes, yes, and all of these things that are at the forefront of Burling's mind as the family start to be unpicked by the Inspector kind of later on.
So I always feel that we get to know Burling really more than we get to know any other character before the Inspector arrives.
He makes some pretty mad statements to start with, doesn't he, about the Titanic going to be the strongest ship.
Being unsinkable.
Unsinkable, yeah.
And that nobody wants a world war.
No. And that all these strikes... petty strikes, as he calls them, are going to disappear. When actually, as we know, at the time, the suffragette movement was gathering pace, and the trade unions was gathering pace, and actually, workers weren't just going to be put up suppressed anymore, and that they were starting to fight, just like Eva Smith does.
Yeah, so he's being set up to look more and more foolish, isn't he? And then the Inspector arrives, and they're not immediately, you know, uncomfortable in any way, are they? Until the questioning,
and then the kind of the idea of the Inspector's rudeness, daring to interrupt such a party, kicks in, doesn't it?
And daring to question such important people as well,
As if just by their class that they're beyond kind of reproach, beyond kind of accusation. So the first person he goes for is?
Burling,
yeah. And we learn about the incident at the factory and the way Eva tried with a few others to ask about getting a reasonable wage, as she was more than kind of entitled to do, and it didn't go well.
Well, he's not remotely interested, is he? I mean, his priority is about making as much money for himself as he can. He doesn't have any regard for staff welfare. As far as he's concerned, it's just about, you know, his own success and looking after his own his own immediate family.
And I think he says to Gerald, you know, if you don't come down hard on these people, they'll be asking for the earth. And the Inspector kind of turns around and says, well, how does he subvert that quote? Better to ask for the earth than to take it, I think the Inspector says, as Burling is doing, you know, like a greedy capitalist guy, really. So very quickly,
no regard for Eva's death.
No,
at all.
She's just a worker, and no concern, just a number to him.
Not important.
No,
and so no remorse or any kind of sense of guilt.
And he never really develops any. The only time, kind of later in the play, he kind of says, "I'd offer thousands," and you know, some may argue that he was trying to say, you know, he wanted to change kind of the situation, but more it's to save face, isn't it,
and
to try and bribe.
About avoiding the scandal.
Yeah,
I don't get the sense that he has any remorse even no. at the end of the play. It's just about the public perception of him and his family.
Absolutely. So Eva is sacked, and as a result, we quickly learn that she had no family to turn to, no friends, no relatives. So it gets worse for her, doesn't it?
Well, she manages to find a job at...
Oh, of course, she goes straight to the Millwoods. Yeah. And that's the incident with Sheila.
Yeah, we see a not very pleasant side of Sheila, don't we, where she, like her father, expects people to behave towards her in a certain way. Mm. So when she is under the impression that Eva is smirking at the way that she looks in this dress that really doesn't suit her, she insists on seeing the manager because they have a long-standing relationship with that particular store, and insists that she's sacked.
Yeah, which is as soon as that's kind of mentioned to Sheila as well, she is quite shocked and ashamed of her actions.
Aware of her own vanity.
Yeah. Yes.
And her kind of materialism and that importance. You know, she gets that the focus was, you know, completely inappropriate because it didn't involve any consideration of her as a person or finding out whether Eva was smiling about something else.
Absolutely.
It was a very, very instant kind of paranoid reaction,
and that's part of her kind of awakening really in this play, that actually she's still got those kind of remnants of the importance of being pretty and the importance of wearing nice clothes, but equally Priestley is moving her towards trying to be kind of a trailblazer and trying to kind of fight for women's rights and workers' rights as well, but she's not quite there yet. We know she's still got that semblance of traditional.
That raises issues about gender, doesn't it?
Yes,
and about kind of expectations of the time and what was considered to be important, and the conflict between the generations too.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that goes through as well with Sheila and Eric are the only ones who are truly kind of ashamed of their actions, and perhaps Priestley trying to say that, you know, the hope is with the youth and of changing society.
And that kind of highlights the difficulty of Gerald's position in the sense that he kind of sits between Sheila and Eric and, Mr. and Mrs. Burling in that way, because he's very sorry on a personal level. But I don't get the impression that he's sorry on a kind of wider society.
Gerald's sorry work. Yeah. Oh yeah. And his at the end when he just finds out that it's a hoax. It's all, you know, can we get back married again, Sheila?
Absolutely.
As
if it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So she's sacked from Millwoods,
so
she then finds
to...
it very difficult to find work, doesn't she? And she ends up in the palace bar,
30, yeah,
being hassled by
Alderman Megarty,
and
Gerald, almost like a knight in shining armour, supposedly comes in
at that point,
although he shouldn't have been because he was obviously engaged to Sheila at that point.
So this becomes the summer where he was allegedly working very hard but actually having an affair with Daisy, wasn't it? She
becomes
Daisy Renton.
Yep. And he is quite shocked by I think the news of her death, certainly.
He seems genuinely upset.
Yeah, and he did care, and you know what that says about his relationship with how genuine it is with Sheila is questionable.
Yeah.
But
and it appears that Daisy or Eva had genuine feelings for him too.
Mm. Because after Gerald broke it off, did he break it off or did she? I can't remember now.
Well, he did, really,
but
she knew it was coming.
Yes. Because he didn't support her. He supported her for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fizzled.
Yeah, I think that they also both recognised that it wasn't something that could continue.
Because it was an affair, ultimately, and he wanted to get back with Sheila. And that idea of it hitting Daisy hard, was borne out by the inspector saying, I think, that when Daisy went to the kind of holiday resort and was there down there by the seaside, kind of trying to find work and stuff down there, she wanted it to last for as the memory of that moment to last for as long as possible, and she wanted time to think, because, you know, I think she did care for Gerald and perhaps love him as well, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But then class comes into that too, doesn't it, in a sense that was never going to be a long-term relationship, because, you know, Gerald was of a considerably higher class than Eva / Daisy, so
so who to go then we had we have Mrs. Burning Up next,
even though
it?
That's out of order in terms of what happened, because it allows her to incriminate Eric without realising it.
Okay, so we'll sum up the final couple, because we're running out of time a little bit on this one. But with Eric, of course, with Mrs. Burling, of course, Daisy went to her seeking help when she was pregnant, but she called herself Mrs. Burling.
Yes, which was fatal.
Yeah, because Mrs. Burling, how did she react to that?
Well, it caused her great offence. Yeah. You know, she saw it as extremely inappropriate and rude.
And as a result, didn't help her at all. So, you know, this irony that even at the head of the chair of a women's charity, she got her nose put out of joint and wouldn't help this poor, desperate girl who'd had so many knocks in life.
And blamed the father. And said the father should take responsibility
Which is further irony that it's her own son who did it. And then later we learn that Eric was indeed the one who got Daisy pregnant and
was stealing money from the company in order to support her.
Absolutely, and we learn ultimately of Eva / Daisy's principled stance in that when she learns Eric has stolen the money to look after her, she doesn't want it. She knows Eric doesn't really love her, and it was just a kind of one or two night stand. She's got enough moral character to say no. You know,
when
she's desperate. Yeah, yeah. She's a kind of shining light in this, and then as a result, from there she committed suicide and felt as if she could take it no longer. And I suppose the inspector comes to that point towards the end as that we have to look after those in society.
Which is a lesson that Sheila and Eric learn, definitely, but Mr. and Mrs. Burling don't, and Gerald is, very questionable on that one, which is, exacerbated further by the prospect of it, the inspector call being a fake. But then obviously the key twist at the end where we find out that a real inspector is on their way.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, I hope that helps a little bit with the plot and some extra little insights there. Cheers. Good luck, U11.